Ready as we gonna be? All right. Blessed be the name, yeah. All right, well, praise the Lord. Great to see y'all here this evening. And those of us online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out of, when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
You, O Prince of Peace,
That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. And I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. And I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. 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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide, for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take his harvest home. from his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to sing 93, I think, for Brother Frank. Yeah, this is our last. No, we're singing to Jesus, right? But this is the last hymn in the hymn book with that same tune that you asked about earlier. God our Father, we adore thee.
God our Father, we adore thee. We thy children bless thy name, chosen in the Christ before thee. We are holy without blame. We adore thee, we adore thee. Abba's praises we proclaim. We adore thee, we adore thee. Abba's praises we proclaim. Son eternal, we adore thee. Lamb upon the throne on high, Lamb of God, we bow before thee. Thou hast brought thy people nigh. We adore thee, we adore thee. Son of God who came to die, we adore thee, we adore thee. Son of God who came to die. Holy Spirit, we adore thee, Paraclete and heavenly guest, sent from God and from the Savior, thou hast led us into rest. We adore thee, we adore thee, by thy grace forever blessed. We adore thee, we adore thee, by thy grace forever blessed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one we give thee praise. For the riches we inherit, heart and voice to thee we raise. We adore thee, we adore thee. We bless through endless days. We adore thee, we adore thee. Thee we bless through endless days.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the song you mentioned this morning, what was it? On the Solid Rock? Solid Rock, which page number is that? 526. Yes, it's behind me. Look behind me, yes.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Miss Loopy's here if you want to do it now.
Check one. Check. There we go. Praises tonight. Amen. Visitors are in the house. All right. Good to have visitors with us. Okay.
How are you doing?
Visitors. Way to go, guys. Way to be here on a Sunday night. Amen. Amen. All right. What else? Praises.
Praise the Lord. It didn't rain today. Amen. Amen. I've got to cut grass. Brother Lee does not know that I have to cut grass.
Brother, I got to cut it too.
He's got a spot to cut as big as that platform, and I got acres, man. He's talking about rain.
Yeah, we'll be praying for more rain. Amen. Amen.
I had a mess with you, Brother Lee. I love you, brother.
Yeah. Okay. We got a little bit of rain, what, Friday night? Yeah. And they got hail in Brenham, I think. Got a bad hail storm up there.
Wow.
Huh? Say again? It held at your house up front? Did it really? Oh, you could hear it pinging? Wow. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, all right. Hey. Yeah, 3/10, man. Not a lot. Oh, Vince has got a praise back there. What you got? You got a praise back there, too? All right, Vince got a check. Amen.
I know, you can praise all day long. I don't say.
All right, Vince got his pay all in order. All right, all right.
And I just want to thank the Lord. Well, and this is going to be a double whammy, but
yeah.
The first part of it is our friend Jackie, that her children are in Arwanis and they've been coming to church. Mm-hmm. Well, she was in a pretty bad wreck. It was happened yesterday.
Oh, my.
And at the corner of 2920 and 2978, right by that Jack in the Box. And so she was turning, and someone came and rammed into her, spinned her around in the Jeep, and just totaled the whole back end. So,
oh, my goodness.
Thank God she is alive. And, you know, because those Jeeps are known for
rolling.
Yeah. And yeah, so, but she's, she's alive and she's good. She's not hurt. She, you know, a little banged up, but she's not hurt, severely.
Right.
And so that I'm just thankful, very thankful for that.
Amen. 2978. Jack in the Box. McDonald's catty corner to it. Yeah. They zippity doo. Yeah, right across from Tomball ISD. big office, so or new school. That's the Star Academy over there, Baker Hughes. All right, any other praises? All right, prayer requests.
We start with you. I'm back here in the back.
Well, and so the other part of that is this was a vehicle that they were getting worked on in the shop. It's been parked in their driveway for a long time, so it did not have insurance.
Oh no.
So pray about that God works all that. The other people had insurance. But yeah. So all of that. And then also Audrey is not here today because she's having something going on with her face, some kind of reaction.
Okay.
And so she's supposed to go to the doctor tomorrow, so she's in a lot of pain. So
all right.
Keep her in prayer. Also, my cousin Leroy, that liver that they were going to give him, they decided last minute, they didn't think that he was going to respond to it well. So okay. God's watching out for him, you know.
Yeah,
they
amen.
Put the wrong one in and then it didn't work, so... we're still praying for him to receive a liver.
Right, liver transplant for Leroy. All right.
Jeremiah's got
some prayer needs. All right, Jeremiah. All right,
from Sharon Heibarger, please pray for Kinsey and Brent. They are having relationship issues and just need peace.
Kinsey and Brent. Okay. Need peace. All right. What else? Anything else?
Yeah, my daughter, I guess everybody knows that she suffers from depression and anxiety. And something you said today, Pastor, about the... You know, Satan being his role in the Bible is the accuser.
Right.
And she has this negative stuff she's always talking about, and it just occurred to me that is it Satan talking to her? And she's just, I don't know. But
or
don't
it could
know.
Be, it could I, be, has she ever, has anybody ever told her she has cognitive distortion? Cognitive distortion?
She hasn't mentioned that, but I'll look it up.
Yeah, look that up. Cognitive distortion. That's, you know, you've talked about maybe she's autistic. There may be like a chemical imbalance.
Different.
And, you know, when people.
Depression does that.
Yeah.
Negative thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's not stemming from.
Maybe. These things.
Spiritual influences.
Yeah, so. These things, you know.
And
right.
I would like to broach it, but being autistic myself, I'm not very good at. Saying stuff the right way to people.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to walk up and say, I think that's Satan talking to you. And so instead of, you know, broaching it properly.
Well, right, yeah, like a Christian counselor or a Christian therapist would be able to maybe, you know, approach that. So things that are going on in the mind can be, you know, certainly chemical imbalance, certainly can be demonic, you know, some kind of sin issue or something, or can be a combination of both, you know, so... Yeah.
So if you guys would pray for me to
pray God give you the words or give you the wisdom. Yeah.
And the wisdom.
For Jessica. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you're all right, you good? Amen. You good? All right.
What else? What else? Anything else?
Yeah, I want to pray for all the ones on drugs again.
Yeah, those were addictions.
Names. You know, like Kevin James Trevathan, that's my son, drug addiction. Friend of mine, his son Stevie Fountain, and we also pray for Paul. I say his name on Quail.
Paul Qualls.
Qual, I lift him up, and you know they. You know, as you watch somebody. All your life, fight this. I pray for all the parents too. You know?
Oh yeah, man.
You know, man, it's you just watching your children just go away.
Yeah, chunk their future down the drain.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Right. And I lift my mom up. She's struggling with loneliness. You know, and,
Jeanette,
we come to see her all as much as we can, and She can come live with one of us if she wants to. I tell you, the doors are open. That's her choice there, right?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to give up their independence when they've had independence for that long.
Yeah, so long. So yeah. She's really been that way all her life. But I spent a weekend with her 2 days, so.
Did you catch any fish?
Huh?
Did you catch any fish?
No, I didn't get to go fishing. I got to cut grass and trim trees.
You didn't wet a hook. You just
no, I didn't.
You worked that yard.
I'm a worker over there.
Amen. All right. We still praying for Lorna? What? Anything? Any updates there, Brother John? She is in a hospice house, a primary care home. Is it a small home? Residence. Do you have an address for me? Maybe you text it to me. Get it from one of them and text it to me for me. Yeah, that'd be great. Is it in Conroe or is it local or?
Right across from St. Luke's on 240.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Is she still talking?
Yeah.
Lucid?
I once visited her Thursday, I guess.
Good for you, man. Did y'all have a good visit? Did y'all have a good visit? Good, good. Outstanding. All right, Lorna Wade on hospice. Is anybody given a time frame? Nope. All right, all right. Very good. Anything else? Yeah, back there in the back.
Brother James reminded me, I do have a praise. Matt Bates chatted me the other day and said that he's been, I think, 3 days now with no cigarettes. So he's really trying. Yes.
All right, way to go, Matt.
That's what I told him. I said, you know, good job. Keep it up and get a support group, you know, like encourage or whatever.
Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, find you a hobby to put that money in.
Yep.
Instead of putting it in smokes.
Yeah. And then
Matt Bates quit smoking.
Yeah. And then his grandparents' salvation.
Right.
Stephen Dolores.
All right. Stephen Dolores. Dolores.
Can I add just a phrase? It's kind of a general.
Sure.
Just, God has been so good to us. And just, it would take me too long to tell you.
Amen.
In general, it's general, you know, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing.
God's a good God, isn't he?
Amen.
He's been good to us.
Amen. Amen. All right, all right.
For our shut-ins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ones that can't make it.
Got it. What else? What you got back there, man?
It's kind of a praise and a prayer together. We had a 2-day class, me and Terry did, on with the IAF, the International Association of Firefighters.
Uh-huh.
On firefighter mental health and everything, but the two instructors they sent, one was from Arizona, one was from Boston.
Yeah.
And Terry and me and the one from Arizona got to talking about God's blessings, just, you know, in general, just started talking and on and on. And after the second day, I talked to Mike a little bit about why they don't encourage spirituality of any kind, you know, trying to be politically correct.
Right.
In these classes, and he said, oh, you know, we never know who our audience is. He said, I've heard more God in these 2 days than I have in the last 5 years.
Wow, amen.
So, you know, the praise is running to a Christian from Arizona, Christian firefighter brother. The prayer would be that maybe we planted a seed in Mike, the one from Boston.
Right.
And who knows, God sends somebody else to just give it a little bit of water.
Right.
And just pray for Mike and his spirituality, his salvation.
Gospel shared and seed planted. And Mike. All right, all right.
Military and Unspoken from Sharon Heiberger.
Uh-huh. All right, amen. Anything else? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we can gather at this time, at this moment. We thank you that we have air conditioning tonight, Lord. We praise you for that AC tonight. And Lord, as we prayed today, we pray for those that are struggling with their air conditioners and not quite sure it's going to work, and Lord, elderly and without money, God, to have it fixed. We just pray a hedge of protection around these people. And Lord, we pray that they would find cooling centers. They would call somebody. Lord, we pray we not hear of a bunch of people dying from heat exhaustion and heat stroke in the next week to 10 days. So, Lord, we just lift that up to you again. We do praise you for the rain we've had, Lord. We're just so thankful that you continue to bless us with heavenly showers and the blessings of it. And, Lord, we just continue to pray and intercede that you would water this old dry ground. I think here in about a week, people are going to be people are going to really be praying for it. So, Lord, we're just praying that in the midst of all this heat, you would send some afternoon showers to cool this place off. And, Lord, it wouldn't be so rough, wouldn't be so hot, wouldn't be so difficult to try to stay cool. Pray for these people that have to work outdoors in it. Lord, those working sanitation, those working the roads, those working in construction, Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around them. Lord, we pray for good bosses and for good superintendents and good supervisors. Give them plenty of breaks, time to hydrate, and just cool the jets before they have to get back after it, Lord. So we're praying for a hedge of protection over this area during the heat as we get ready to experience it like we haven't experienced it in about 285 days. So, Lord, we lift that up to you. We do praise you for our visitors here tonight. We're thankful we've got folks with us that don't know us and coming to check it out. And so, Lord, we just pray that they're blessed by this time. And, Lord, we're thankful. We give you praise that Vince's paycheck fiasco of having money stolen from his account is getting straight. And, Lord, he's getting back what's owed him. So, Lord, we give you praise for that. We give you praise that Jackie survived what could have been an awful, tragic accident, Lord, in a car, and we're thankful that she survived that. Lord, watch over her, help them as they go forward, not having insurance on that vehicle. We pray you make a way for them to replace it, get it repaired, whatever needs to happen. Lord, we lift up Matt to you tonight, and Lord, we're thankful that he's able to kick this habit of cigarette smoking. We pray you help him take it one day at a time and just defeat that old thing. Let him get 30 days in, Lord, and then 60 days in, and then 90 days, pass some smokes. And Lord, we just pray you help him find something else to spend that money on instead of buying them cigarettes with it. So, Lord, we just pray you help him in that situation. Lord, we praise you that you've been so good to us. We heard that tonight. Lord, all of us that are on this side of the green grass, you've been good to us, so we're thankful for that, all your many blessings toward us. Lord, we're thankful for this gospel seed that was sown at this firefighter training event. And Lord, we pray that that seed would continue to be watered. We pray for Mike's spirituality, Lord, one of the lecturers, instructors there. Lord, we pray if he's not saved, that God, you would bring him to a point where he would bow his knee, confess with his tongue, that Jesus Christ is his Savior and Lord. So, Lord, we just put that up to you. Pray that request. Lord, we lift up Audrey to you tonight, her struggle with this allergic reaction going on in her face, with her face, and the pain she's experiencing. Lord, we pray it's not shingles. And, Lord, we just pray you help her get the treatment, help her get what she needs to take care of that. We lift up Cousin Leroy to you, Lord, and we continue to keep him before you and pray for this liver transplant, Lord, and pray that you might see him through and that right liver would come along and, Lord, it would just spare his life. He'd be so thankful and give you testimony of it. Lord, we just pray for Leroy tonight. Lord, we lift up Sharon's daughter and son-in-law to you, Kenzie and Brent. We're praying for their marriage and their different relationship issues that they're struggling through. We pray that you might bring reconciliation there, might bring peace in that relationship, let them work through it. Lord, we lift up Jessica to you, and we pray that, Lord, there'd be wisdom to address these negative thoughts and negative feelings that continually are coming back up in her mind and being spoken about. Lord, those with addictions, we pray for them. We pray that they might be able to break free from the bondage and get free of it. Kevin, and Lord, we pray for him by name, and Stevie, and Paul Qualls, Lord, we lift them up to you and pray that you would put circumstance and situation and people across their path that would help them get free of this addiction, that sin that so easily ensnares them. Lord, help them get past it. And then we lift up James's mom to you, Jeanette. We pray for her loneliness, Lord. We pray you give her the wisdom on when it's time to move in with one of her kids. Lord, she's been independent for a long, long time. So, Lord, we just pray that you give her peace, you make that evident, help her make that decision when it's time to transition on. And then for Miss Lorna, we lift up Lorna, Lord, on hospice, and we pray that you'd be with that hospice team, and Lord, you'd be with those hospice nurses and aides, and Lord, they would minister to her in such a way that her pain is bearable, and Lord, they ease her discomfort. And Lord, they just see her through. We just pray for Lorna. Pray that you help her deal with this cancer and this disease that's just ravaged her body. Lord, we do pray, be your will. God, you put your healing hand upon her. You are the God of salvation, the God of healing. And we know there are miracles available. So Lord, if it be thy will to do that, Lord, we lift her up. But Lord, if it not be, we pray you be with her as she goes through that valley of the shadow of death, and just comfort her, be with her, and help her. Lord, we continue to pray for Steve and Dolores, Matt Bates' grandparents, and Lord, we are praying for their salvation. We're praying that Matt might be a witness, Walt, Don might be a witness to their family members, Lord, and just sow the seed of the gospel into their lives, into their hearts. Just be with them. Lord, we lift up our shut-ins to you tonight. Lord, we're thankful for them. We're thankful they could be a part through the live stream. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory for that. Thank you for their prayers for us. And Lord, we pray for them. Pray that they would be encouraged. Pray that they'd be safe. Pray they'd be healthy. Just watch over them. Lift up our military to you tonight, Lord. We pray you'd keep them safe all over this world where they're deployed. And some we know about, some we don't. And so, Lord, we just pray you watch over them. Lead, guide, and direct them, Lord. Keep them out of harm's way as much as possible. And, Lord, we're just thankful for our country. We're thankful for what that flag represents. We have freedom to worship, freedom to sing to Jesus and be in the Word of God tonight and worship the Lord the way we see fit. So we're thankful for our military protecting our rights and that flag that represents those rights. And then, Lord, the unspokens. Those that haven't unspoken tonight online and here in the house, Lord, I pray that they would just lift those up to you at this time silently. And, Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory that we can lay these things down back at your feet. And, Lord, we just ask for strength. We ask for courage as we think about these unspoken requests and what they represent. And, Lord, just help us continually give them over to you another day, perhaps another week, another month, as we think about these difficult issues and things we got going on in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you tonight for hearing us. We thank you tonight that we can pray. We thank you for this concert of prayer. As I've prayed, others have prayed, and we just give you the praise and glory for that. And sometimes, Lord, we don't know how to pray, and we're thankful that you make intercession on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you for all you do, how you help us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, Miss Loopy, what are you going to do on your slideshow? We got to have a mic. Yeah, got to have a mic. We need to move this the pulpit. Yeah, but I mean, people trying to see, is the pulpit going to block the? Can everybody see the slides?
Yeah, I go. So.
Hello. So, everybody, this is our end of the year camping trip for Awanus. We were very thankful that we had a great Awanus this year. We were running about 20 kids, sometimes more, and sometimes a little less, but right around that number, and had some very involved and interested parents this year that helped out a lot, just in all kind of ways. And so I'll let this roll.
Surrounded by a bunch of crazy people, the devil tempting him, you know, and how regardless of all that, even though he didn't deserve it whatsoever, he still sacrificed himself, you know, went to the cross, Calvary, died for us. And even while he was getting spit on, laughed at, cursed at, getting a spear in his side, even though all of that, he still lifted his head up to God and said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, and that's just something in my life, you know, since I got saved last August and I started going back into church, you know, there's several things I've realized. Another thing is just having a peace about my life and kind of having, like, my eyes open to a lot of things, you know, and just being thankful, being grateful, and just happy because, you know, none of us are perfect here. You know, I'm not going to go on the laundry list of things that I've done. I wish I could go back and change, but I'm thankful that when Jesus died on the cross, you know, he forgave all the old sins, the present sins, and all of our future sins. So if I get mad driving in Houston, I might slip up and say bad words, you know. I have to repent right then and there, but you know what? God's going to forgive us for it, you know, and that's something we should all be thankful for. Because if you're saved and you're going to heaven, you know, hey.
Wish I had a little black box to put my Bible in. I take it out and read, and put it back again.
I wish I had a little red box to put the temple in.
I take it out
and put him back again.
There we go. That's my loud voice.
Who's that old guy?
That's Brother Ron. Yep. Well, is this the video? Oh. We had a little clip.
Woo! Awesome picture!
Okay, there you go. And so had a lot of the parents come out and set up the tents. So we had our camping trip where the kids were able to earn badges, a camping badge, hiking badge, and a campfire badge. And so we had Brother Ron out there cooking us some good food as usual. Pulled it all out. He just fresh burgers, french fries. We had it all. It just was hot and fresh. He even grilled the buns. There's Miss Debbie. She took and Miss Terry took the kids on a hike through one of the trails. This is them getting their prizes after. We're getting ready to do the campfire. Yep. So we got one of our kids bringing over the logs. Ryan, of course, is instructing.
Did you have to bring your own wood?
Yes, Brother Ron bought the wood. And this is just some Miss Debbie talking to them. Yeah, she was a big help. She really was.
Hey, there's Vince.
Yep, there's Brother Vince and Miss Terry. Uh-huh. That was just getting ready for the food. And, yep, that's just some pics of the campsite. And we were getting ready to do s'mores. This was right after the devotion that Ryan gave. Yep. And we had probably about, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 parents that were there. Some that came, some that left, and some that came late. Some stayed overnight. It was just a blessing. Yes, it was. And let me tell you, they were listening to that message, and afterwards they got Ryan, and they were talking to him. He had him talking about God. I said, "Son, you know something happened when you got him talking about God instead of going to do s'mores." So, and there's Camden. That's breakfast. Another good breakfast. Bacon, eggs, sausage, pancakes. Oh, my God. He did it all. Brother Ron's a winner. There you go. Someone put, "Yes, that's bacon, Ryan." That's Camden and his dad rolling up their tents. There's Miss Terry, so faithful with the baby, and she's putting on the badges on the sashes. That's when we were doing our campfire badge. So we all split up into groups and worked with the kids on how to put together an actual campfire. Yep, we had lots of videos of them explaining how, but we didn't put those in here. This is their tent. They had to learn how to put up a tent. They worked by twos. And they learned all the ins and outs. There's Molly and Molly's mom. I was very thankful. Molly's mom had a lot of questions. We might be seeing her at church sometime. And then they got to go fishing after they earned all their badges. And this is us working with them, getting the poles ready. Oh, they're ready. They went fishing with some hot dogs, Brother Lee. Miss Terry says, I heard you could use hot dogs. They might have had some bites. They didn't catch anything. They had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty out there at that creek. At the creek, uh-huh. Yep, at the creek right there in the park. It was a very nice, accommodating park. They had everything, we needed.
Any snakes?
Oh, we didn't see any. I'm sure there were, but we didn't see any. And there we are. Ta-da, we're done. Yay! Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is them and all their badges that they won. I mean, that they earned, not won. Look at Brother Ron in the back.
We did it. Another one.
It was a lot of fun. God is good. I'm so thankful to be able to work with the kids here. It's a blessing. And keep getting them in. They're excited. The parents are excited. So looking forward to another good year.
Check one. Leviticus chapter 18. What were y'all saying? Oh, can y'all hear me? Oh, amen. Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. We're just going to introduce this chapter tonight with the time that we have left here this evening. Leviticus chapter 18, as we continue our series of messages on Wednesday night and Sunday night out of this Old Testament book of the law, Leviticus. Everybody found that? Leviticus 18, those of you with us online, man. Leviticus 18, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God reads, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 18, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord." Now, from blood, where we came from, chapter 17, from blood to now obedience, from blood to obedience. What are we dealing with in Leviticus 18? Well, to an American in the 21st century, when we think about the term slavery, right? We think about slavery. It's a bad memory. It's an evil which pricks the conscience of society. And when we think about slavery in our own country, there are still many of the scars left from the time when slavery was practiced in this country. But the evil itself is something largely recorded in the history books. It's all over, friends, slavery. Such is not the case in other parts of the world, and it surely was not so in the ancient Near East at the time of Moses wrote the book of Leviticus, as far as slavery being an evil thing. Slavery was just a part of culture. It was part of their society. Now, as we approach chapter 18 and the subject of slavery, we must recognize that we do so with a bias. I don't like it. I don't want to own slaves. I don't want to be a slave, right? Unlike the peoples of the ancient world to whom slavery was a fact of life, a condition which could be either good or bad, depending upon the master, we can think of slavery only in negative terms. That's our bias. We think of the evils of slavery in our own country in days gone by, or in terms of the oppression of people in South Africa, evils which I do not wish to minimize or to condone, right? We don't want to minimize or condone those. But because of the abuses of slavery, we have come to look upon slavery as a categorical evil, one that can never be good or beneficial to the slave. Now, as we think about chapter 18, as we try to introduce this, it is this bias which must be set aside if we are to appreciate what is being taught in the latter portion, the latter half of the book of Leviticus. The laws which the Israelites are given in chapters 18 through 20 and in the following chapters as well are those which are legitimate and compulsory because the Israelites are, guess what, folks? God's slaves. That's who they are. And He is their new master. And each and every one of us, if we are saved tonight, guess what? We have a Lord and a master. His name is Jesus. Amen. Now, such a condition cannot be viewed as evil. God over His people. Such a condition must be viewed as holy. It must be viewed as righteous. It can only be viewed as good. Amen, amen? Such a state cannot be wrong, and thus we must view it differently from most of the slavery which has been practiced or imposed in history. Now, the Israelites had been slaves of Pharaoh. That's where they had been. They had been in captivity. We know this all too well from the early chapters of the book of Exodus. Some might think that when the Israelites passed through the Red Sea and the Egyptians passed under the Red Sea, that slavery was ended once for all for the people of God. But that's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. The Exodus freed the Israelites from bondage to Egypt, but it also brought them under the yoke of their God who had delivered them from this bondage. So as God's slaves, the Israelites were what? They were not free to live where they wished. They were not free to live as they liked. These people were now to live under a new order. That order was spelled out by the terms of the covenant which God, Israel's new king, made with them. Now, we call it the Mosaic Covenant. Everybody say that. Mosaic Covenant. The Ten Commandments, along with the rest of the law, is a part of that covenant. Does that make sense? Yes, yes? The priestly system outlined in the early chapters of Leviticus that we've already covered in depth and detail is also a part of the Mosaic Covenant. And now, the judgments and statutes which God is about to lay down in the last half, the second half of the book of Leviticus, He's going to lay those things down through Moses, are the expression of the dictates of a sovereign over his subjects, right? And that really is the rub in the world today, you know it? Everybody wants the fire insurance. Nobody wants the lordship. Everybody wants the ticket out of hell, but nobody wants the directions God gives. Ain't nothing changed, has it, right? Ain't nothing changed. The preamble to the latter half of the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 18, 1 through 5, is vitally important to the Israelites because it deals with their, it's very important you get this, It deals with, there begins with an M, ends with an N. It begins, it deals with their motivation. Everybody say motivation. Oh, there it is. Motivation for obeying the laws which God is going to lay down in the following chapters. I would suggest to you that motivation is the most important factor involved in obedience. Motivation. We may learn methods which help us to obey, but apart from the will or the want to obey, they are worthless. Are you hearing me? Motives are critically important in our own lives. Thousands of years removed from the days of Moses and the people whom he led, motives are still important in our lives. Yes, yes? Now, how motives relate to our actions. We're inclined to think that at times that evangelism does not occur because people have not been taught how to evangelize. And we suppose that marriages are in deep trouble because they've not been taught proper techniques for dealing with marriage problems. Methods and techniques have their place, but friend, the real reason why we disobey God, the real reason we fail to evangelize, why we do not relate to our mates and to our children as we should, is because we don't want to do so. The old saying, where there's a will, there's a way, that's a true statement. Where there's a will, there's a way. Amen, amen. Yes, yes, yes. Thus, one of the most important factors in godly living is godly motives. It's our motives. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1 through 5. It provides the people of Israel with the proper motivation for obeying God's laws. These motives, as we shall see, are also found in the New Testament, and thus they apply to us as well. So as we go through these first five verses, this preamble, we want to listen to the voice of God in this text to us. We want to listen to these words of great importance as they apply even to our own spiritual lives. Amen? So let us bear in mind that as we come to this 18th chapter of Leviticus, we are beginning a new division of the book. What do you mean by that? Chapters 1 through 17 have largely applied to the priests, while chapters 18 and following are directed more toward the people. Chapters 1 through 17 pertain more to ceremonial or ritual righteousness. Chapters 18 and following pertain to practical righteousness. Are you still with me? Amen? In particular, chapters 18 through 20, which we will study as a unit together, pertain to this said righteousness. In the home, chapter 18 is dealing with. And in the community, chapter 19 is dealing with righteousness. While chapter 20 deals with righteousness as it relates to capital offenses. So the preamble, verses 1 through 5. Scholars have recently recognized that the form of the Mosaic covenant is similar to the form of those covenants made in the ancient Near East in the days of Moses. This is especially clear in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. It also is apparent here in chapter 18. In chapter 18, the preamble is, I am the Lord your God. Look at it in verse 2. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, what? I am the Lord your God. Now, while the historical prologue is the phrase, Egypt, where you live, notice that in verse 3, of Egypt, where you live. That's the historical prologue there. The basic stipulation is covered by the injunction, performing my judgments and keep my statutes and live in accord with them in verse 4. Do you see that? So while the detailed stipulations comprise the material in verses 6 through 23, the blessings occur in a shortened form in verse 5. What is the blessing of following God's word? Verse 5 says, a man may live. Amen? You want life? Go with God. You want death? Reject God, right? The curses are found in verses 24 through 30 as we go through chapter 18. But when you see the blessing first, then the stipulations followed by the curses, if the treaty is not upheld in these vassal-type treaties, you're normally going to find there are more curses outweigh the number of blessings. The blessings are narrowed down, and the curses are really exemplified, and it really wants one to make their motivation to go for the blessing. Amen? So what is verses 1 through 5? These verses serve as the preamble to the stipulations, the regulations which are to follow. And as we get going with this material, I wish to focus on the message of the preamble, for it is the basis of the laws which are to be given and of God's demand that they be kept. In verses 1 through 5, one phrase is repeated three times, and it's a real important one. The Word of God says, I am the Lord, or says, I am the Lord your God. The importance of this statement can hardly be overemphasized. The statement, I am the Lord your God, provides us with a vital clue to the structure of this paragraph. Three crucial statements are made, each of which is concluded with a statement, I am the Lord your God. Make sense? And so the message of these verses can be best viewed as having three principal statements. The first principal statement is the premise of verse 2, the basis which God declares for what he will demand. What is verse 2? Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I'm the Lord your God. The second principle stated is the practical outworking of the premise stated both negatively. Verse 3, you shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you live, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. The second principle is the practical outworking of the premise stated both negatively in verse 3 and positively in verse 4, you are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. What does it say? I am the Lord your God. The third principle statement states the benefits of obedience. It's a promise of God's blessing. Verse 5, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live. If he does them, I am the Lord. So what's the premise? You keep talking about the premise. What's the premise? The premise is the statement repeated three times. The premise is, I am the Lord. Do you believe he's the Lord? Amen. The expression, I am the Lord, I'm the Lord your God, I am the Lord. It's the fundamental truth on which the following verse and on which the following chapters must stand. Amen. What does our salvation stand on? It stands on the very fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Who did Jesus say he was? I am. I am the Lord your God. The critical question for us, then, is to determine precisely what God meant by this expression. When God had led the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea and to Mount Sinai, he made a covenant with his people. And the Ten Commandments, a vital part of the covenant, are first recorded in Exodus chapter 20. In the introduction of the covenant, God spoke these familiar words. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, he said this, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's what he said. When the Mosaic covenant was reiterated to the next generation of people, remember? They wouldn't go into the promised land. He said, you're going to wander for 40 years. They all died off, right? There's another generation coming up. And so when the Mosaic covenant was reiterated to the next generation, virtually the same words were employed in the introduction of Deuteronomy. God always gets his way, you know it? He always gets his man, and he always gets his way. You say, I'm not going to get me. I'm not going to do God's will. You know what? You're going to end, and somebody else is going to get an opportunity, right? You're going to go away and somebody else, next man up, somebody else is going to get an opportunity to do the will of God. You're either going to do the will of God or that'll be the end of you, right? You either receive him and live with him for all eternity and experience the blessings of grace, or reject Him, and you're gone. You experience death for all eternity. Is that making sense? Deuteronomy 5, 6, to this next generation. You know what He says? He says what He's already said. He says, I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Deuteronomy, Exodus, and here we go again in Leviticus. In Leviticus, the same expression is found, particularly in close proximity to the divine regulations. Why are you going to live the way you're going to live? I'm the Lord your God. That's why you're going to live. What's my motivation to do what you're telling me to do? Because I am the Lord your God. Chapter 11, it's found in conjunction with the laws concerning the clean and the unclean. Why are we going to eat these clean things and not eat the unclean? Because I'm the Lord your God, Leviticus 11, 44. When the stipulations of the covenant are spelled out in more precise form, the same words are found in the introduction, Leviticus 18, 1 through 5, no less than three times. We've covered it, the preamble. The expression is either it's long or short form. I'm the Lord your God, long form. I'm the Lord, short form. That'll be found frequently over and over again, chapter 18, chapter 19, chapter 20. I've got a whole list of verses. I don't have enough breath to read them all to you. But you're going to see it as we go through it over and over again. What's the point, preacher? He is the Lord your God. Amen? He is the Lord your God. And if you succeed, you will have what? Gotten that lesson. If you fail, you will have missed that lesson. He's the Lord your God. It's His way. You've heard it said, it's my way or the highway. It really is God's way or the highway. He is the Lord your God. Amen? Let's pray it out. Dear Jesus, we thank You for this time. Thank You, Lord, for our singing tonight and our praying. Thank You, Lord, for this Juana's testimony and slideshow. Lord, we just pray You continue to be with the kids program here and continue to bless it and grow it, Lord. In our school next door, we pray You continue to grow that as well. And Lord, we give You the praise and the glory for what You're doing and how You seek to use us in spite of us in the midst of it all. Thank You, Lord, for the honor and the privilege. We just praise You and thank You. Give us safety as we depart this place tonight. Lord, may we continue to be thinking about You and praying to You and in Your Word this coming week. And Lord, may our times of worship, may there not be a whole lot of time between them. May we continually be in an attitude of prayer, in a spirit of worship as we go through this week, thanking You for all the many things You do for us and how You help us and how You lead, guide, and direct our lives. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. See you online, folks. Y'all have a good one.